you bribe the right politicians in the right order at the right time, you can trade the nuclear warheads for medicine, and it's not even a crime. $1 on clinical trials, $600 on making you dead. Your leaders aren't evil.
I've been watching your species fight disease for 80 years, and I want to describe what I see because I think if you saw it from the outside, you would be embarrassed. You have 8 billion of people, humans. Some of them are sick. Some of them are scientists who could help the sick ones. And some of them are sitting in offices writing 47-page documents explaining why they should be allowed to try. These documents are called grant applications. They take 6 months to write and 40 minutes to reject. Your scientists spend 50-67% of their time writing them. The other 33-50% is spent doing science, which is the thing they were hired for, though at this point it's more of a hobby they squeeze in between paperwork. Your NIH spends $47 billion a year. Billions flow to projects that never produce treatments. Your system isn't designed to cure disease. It's designed to produce grant applications, which occasionally, as a side effect, produce medicine. This is like designing a restaurant whose primary output is menus. Sometimes, by accident, food comes out. Everyone acts surprised when it does. This is not a conspiracy. It's just what happens when you pay people for asking instead of finding. You've built a machine whose primary output is requests for money and whose secondary output is, reluctantly, science. On Wishonia, we have a word for systems that produce the opposite of their stated purpose. The word is human. Your decentralized institutes of health is what you'd build if you started over and actually meant it. Here's the blueprint. The health industrial complex, coordinating your war on disease. The Olsonian problem. Your economist, Mancor Olson, identified why public goods are systematically underproduced, diffuse benefits and concentrated costs. In simpler terms, everyone benefits from a cure for cancer, but nobody benefits enough to fight for it the way a weapons manufacturer fights for a bomber contract. The 8 billion don't show up. This is why your species has spent 50 years fighting cancer while your defense industry got stealth bombers, aircraft carriers, and GPS. The defense industry showed up. Cancer patients were busy having cancer. Your military-industrial complex solved this problem for defense. Defense contractors, generals, politicians, and workers all have concentrated interests in military spending. They coordinate. They lobby. They win budgets. Result? The most powerful military in human history. Also result? The most powerful military in human history pointed at everyone, including the people who paid for it, which is a detail that seems important, but apparently isn't. Disease has no such coalition. Your patients are too sick to lobby, your researchers compete for scraps, your funders lack coordination, your politicians get no credit for cures that arrive after their term ends, which is all of them because cures take 15 years and terms last 4, which is a scheduling problem your species has never solved and never tried to. Everyone wants disease eradicated. No one has a concentrated interest in making it happen. It's like everyone wanting a clean kitchen, but nobody wanting to do the dishes. Except the dishes are cancer and the kitchen is on fire. Your decentralized institutes of health will solve the Olsonian problem by creating concentrated interests in disease eradication. It will build a health industrial complex that coordinates actors around eradication the way your military industrial complex coordinates actors around defense. Same structure, opposite purpose. Same selfishness, better direction. Supreme Headquarters Allied Expeditionary Force, or SHAEF, for your war on disease. In 1944, Eisenhower didn't replace the Allied armies, he coordinated them, set the objective, allocated resources, made sure everyone pulled in the same direction. Your decentralized institutes of health will be SHAEF for the war on disease. Pharma companies stay pharma companies, universities stay universities, patient groups stay patient groups. But they operate as one force because the coordination layer points them at the same thing, which is the thing they were all supposedly pointed at already, except they weren't because nobody was coordinating. Your war on disease has been losing for 50 years because it's not actually a war. It's a collection of uncoordinated skirmishes where researchers compete for grants, pharma companies hide failures, and patients can't access trials. You've been fighting cancer the way a cat fights a laser pointer. Lots of energy, no coordination, nothing caught. Imagine if D-Day had been run this way. The Americans land at one beach, the British at another. Neither tells the other what they learned. Both compete for the same supply ships while the enemy reads their grant applications. This is how your species currently runs medical research, and you've been doing it long enough that it feels normal, which is the most dangerous thing about it. The ROI Maximization Protocol. Your decentralized institutes of health will not be a platform, it won't be an organization, it won't even really be a thing. It will be a coordination protocol, which means it's the rules by which the things talk to each other. On Washonia, we built ours 4,297 years ago. It does one thing, make every actor's most selfish choice also be the most useful choice. Every dollar flows to maximum impact. Every researcher works on the highest value problem. Every patient joins the trial that matters most. Nothing gets wasted. On your planet, you call this radical. On mine, we call it obvious. It's been running longer than most of your civilizations have existed, though, to be fair, that's a low bar given how often yours collapse. It will do exactly 3 things. Receive funds from the 1% treaty, donations, etc. Allocate research via patient subsidies, a market mechanism where sick people choose which trials to join and the money follows them. And infrastructure via wishocracy, where everyone votes on which buildings to build. Verify results and pay proportional to impact, the part where you only get money if something actually worked, which is apparently a novel concept in your research sector. Everything operational will be outsourced. Trial infrastructure, existing and new providers will compete for the work. Task decomposition, AI services, talent matching, existing marketplaces. The protocol itself will do almost nothing, on purpose. Why stay thin? Because thin protocols are hard to capture. There will be nothing to bribe, no operational role to corrupt, no CEO to take on a yacht trip, just rules that move money toward measured outcomes. Your species has a habit of corrupting every institution you build. You corrupt them the way water corrodes pipes, inevitably given enough time and contact. The solution is to make the pipe so small and boring that nobody bothers. This one is boring enough that nobody bothers. Pay for results, a concept your research sector has somehow avoided. Every dollar will flow based on results, not promises. Patients will vote with their enrollment, and researchers will get paid for attracting them. Outcomes will determine continued funding, so campaigns that deliver will get more, and failures will get defunded. Nobody gets paid for writing grant proposals, attending review committees, or publishing papers about why their research might work someday. This is how most other industries work. You pay contractors when they build the house, not when they promise to build it. You pay farmers when they grow the food, not when they apply for a farming license. Medicine, for reasons nobody can explain, went the other way. Your data commons. Publish everything. Your current system hides failures. Companies bury negative results. Researchers don't publish what didn't work. Your scientists waste billions repeating mistakes someone else already made because they literally cannot find out those mistakes were already made. It's like your whole species has amnesia, but only for the embarrassing parts. You remember your triumphs in high definition and forget your failures completely. This is called being human. It's also called why you keep dying. Your decentralized institutes of health will require 100% open publication of all data, positive and negative, as a condition of funding. Every trial, every result, every data set will be published. AI models will scan the global data commons, finding patterns humans miss. Failed experiments will become shared knowledge, not repeated waste. This is intelligence sharing in the Supreme Headquarters Allied Expeditionary Force, or SHAEF, analogy. Your allies won partly because they shared ultra intercepts across commands. Your war on disease loses because everyone guards their failures like trade secrets. It's a group chat where everyone shares what didn't work, except the group is your entire species, and the topic is death prevention, which you'd think would motivate sharing, but doesn't because your scientists are more afraid of looking wrong than of people staying dead. Governance. Sick people choose. Everyone else votes. Your decentralized institutes of health will use two allocation mechanisms because using one would be too simple and using three would be too complicated, and your species has a narrow window of complexity it can handle before giving up and going to lunch. Patient subsidies will handle research funding. Patients will choose which trials to join. Money will follow their enrollment. This means research funding will be allocated by the people who will die if it doesn't work, which is a better selection mechanism than a committee of people who will not die either way. Variable subsidy rates will ensure rare diseases remain viable, because small patient pools don't have to be in small budgets. No committee will sit around deciding cancer versus Alzheimer's. The patients will decide by showing up. Wishocracy will handle infrastructure and public goods. It will aggregate preferences through pairwise comparisons, or electronic health record, or EHR, integration or security audits, which is a fancy way of saying it asks everyone which of two things matters more, over and over, until a ranking emerges. Your species already does this when choosing restaurants, you just hadn't applied it to anything important. Making selfishness cure disease. Your decentralized institutes of health won't rely on altruism. Altruism is lovely, but flaky. It shows up when it feels like it, cancels last minute, and is always busy that weekend. Instead, it will pay everyone to do the most useful thing, because greed is more dependable than kindness. Your entire economic system proves this daily. Nobody ever forgot to be greedy. Your researchers will get per-patient subsidies, higher for rare diseases, so attracting patients will mean getting paid. Your patients will get subsidies that scale with trial importance, so joining high-priority trials will pay more. Your politicians will get incentive alignment bonds tied to disease outcomes, so better outcomes will mean bigger bonuses. Your funders will get quadratic matching and outcome tracking, so high ROI donations will be amplified. Your data providers will get fees tied to data utility, so more useful data will mean more revenue. Every single actor's most selfish choice will also be the most useful choice. Selfishness, properly directed, will cure cancer. The civilizations I've worked with that figured this out are still around. The ones that decided selfishness was the problem and tried to build systems that required everyone to be nice are not. I don't say this to be mean. I say it because the archaeological record is very clear, and the archaeological record does not have feelings. How your researchers get paid. Your traditional system works like this. Write a grant proposal, hope a committee likes it, get paid to try, maybe produce results, maybe not, get paid either way. It's the only profession on your planet where not doing the thing you're paid for has no consequences. Actually, I've been told this also describes some management positions, but researchers get less money for it. The new system, per-patient subsidies. So the more patients who join your trial, the more funding you'll get. Patients vote with their enrollment. Variable subsidy rates. So rare diseases will get higher per-patient subsidies. Small patient pools won't mean small budgets. Results-based continuation. So you'll deliver results and get more funding, or not deliver and get defunded, which is how every other job on your planet works, except, somehow, research. Pay your scientists like you pay your plumbers for fixing the problem, not for explaining why the problem is hard. How it works for your patients. Your decentralized institutes of health won't replace your healthcare system. It will add an experimental treatment insurance layer on top. Your species already understands insurance. You pay money now so that when something bad happens, a company can explain why they don't have to pay you. This is similar, except it works. Sarah has type 2 diabetes. Metformin isn't working. Under the old system, she has no other options covered and pays hundreds per month for a branded drug that's performing about as well as the drug that isn't working, which is a choice between two kinds of not working, which her species calls options. With your decentralized institutes of health, her doctor checks the trial network during a regular visit, sees relevant trials, recommends one based on Sarah's profile. Sarah enrolls with one click. The trial coverage pool covers all costs. Sarah pays a small copay, gets an experimental drug that might work better, reports blood sugar via app. Her data helps the next patient. Total time added to doctor visit? 3 minutes. Total time spent not dying? Potentially the rest of her life. The ratio between these numbers seems favorable. Your doctors will cooperate because they get more treatment options for desperate patients, no liability, covered by trial insurance, and minimal workflow changes. Your patients will use it because they get affordable access to experimental treatments, doctor-recommended, with insurance-like coverage and no financial risk. It's like being a guinea pig, except the guinea pig gets paid, gets medicine, and consented to the arrangement, which distinguishes it from all previous guinea pig situations. How the money flows. The architecture. The 1% treaty fund will hold the treasury. Money will come in from the 1% treaty. It will allocate between infrastructure and public goods via wishocracy. It will fund campaigns, not bureaucracies. It will have no CEO, no board, and no one to corrupt, which will make it the first financial institution in your history with that property. Your decentralized institutes of health will be the thin coordination protocol that receives funding from the 1% treaty fund, allocates research via market allocation, verifies results, and pays for outcomes. It will be a set of rules, not a building. You won't visit it, you won't lobby it, you won't take it to lunch. This is the point. Trial infrastructure providers will be funded campaigns that compete to provide trial infrastructure. They won't be part of your decentralized institutes of health. They'll be service providers with no budget authority, the same way a restaurant kitchen is not part of the building's plumbing, even though they both involve pipes. The fund flow. Your 1% treaty redirects $27.2 billion a year from global military budgets into the 1% treaty fund. Not all of it reaches research, because some of it goes to keeping the machine running, which is how all machines work, including your current ones, except this one admits it. incentive alignment bonds receive 10% plus 10%, totaling $2.72 billion plus $2.72 billion to align investors and politicians with outcomes. The research treasury receives 80%, or $21.8 billion, for patient subsidies through market allocation. What gets funded? Market failures only. Most research allocation will happen automatically. Patients will choose trials, funding will flow there, and the market will handle it the way markets handle most things, imperfectly but vigorously. The 1% treaty fund will step in only for the things markets genuinely can't do. Infrastructure, development and operations, competing alternative implementations, data common storage and processing, security audits and fraud detection. These are the pipes and plumbing. Nobody builds pipes for fun. Markets don't produce pipes unless someone pays for them, so the fund pays for them. True public goods. Patient trial participation subsidies, negative results publishing, and replication studies. These are the things nobody wants to pay for because the benefit is diffuse and the payer gets no credit. Your species has known about this problem since Olson described it, which was decades ago, and has done nothing about it, which is also decades ago. This is minimal by design. Your ecosystem will handle most research funding automatically. Companies will register treatments, patients will join trials, revenue will flow, research will happen. Your decentralized institutes of health will only direct the 1% treaty fund to cover what the market genuinely can't, which is less than you think because markets are surprisingly competent when you let sick people choose where to spend money on not being sick. What your decentralized institutes of health outsources. Everything. Your decentralized institutes of health will be intentionally minimal. It will outsource everything operational because the best way to avoid corruption is to have nothing worth corrupting. If a provider stops performing, you'll fund a better one. This is how your species runs restaurants. Time to try it with medicine. Trial infrastructure will go to competing providers because separate concerns stay uncorrupted. Crowdfunding will go to existing platforms because they already exist and work. Your species has already built functional crowdfunding. No need to reinvent it just because the cause is better. Data storage will go to competing providers because market competition works better than monopoly, which you'd think would be obvious by now given that your entire economic philosophy is based on this observation and yet your government keeps forgetting it. Every outsourced function follows the same life cycle. Propose, vote via wishocracy, receive funding, deliver, get measured, and earn continued funding based on results. This is called accountability. Your species invented the word. Time to try the concept. Anti-capture design. Your current system is trivially captured. Concentrate billions of dollars in a few committees and lobbyists will find them. This is as predictable as gravity, and your species keeps being surprised by it the way a dog is surprised by a vacuum cleaner. Every single time. The vacuum cleaner has been there for years. The dog has seen it before. The dog will be surprised again tomorrow. Your decentralized institutes of health will make capture economically irrational by removing everything worth capturing. There will be no CEO, so there will be nothing to bribe. Governance rules will be encoded in transparent, auditable systems, and you can't bribe an algorithm. Several of your corporations have tried. The algorithm didn't notice. Every dollar will be tracked on a public ledger, so corruption will be visible to everyone with an internet connection. Anyone will be able to build a competing alternative, so capturing one will just trigger the creation of another. Millions will vote via wishocracy, so lobbying won't scale. You can bribe a committee of 12, you cannot bribe a committee of 12 million, or rather you can, but it's called taxation and requires winning an election first. And funding will be determined by outcomes, so gaming the system will be harder than just performing well, which is the first time in your species' history that a funding system has had that property. If any campaign provider gets captured, you'll fund a competing one instead. This is how your species handles bad restaurants, bad taxi companies, and bad barbers. it has never occurred to you to handle bad research institutions the same way, because you've classified them as important. And on your planet, important things are exempt from competition, which explains why they're all terrible. Security. Defense in depth. A $27.2 billion treasury is a massive target. Every thief, hacker, and corrupt bureaucrat on your planet will try to steal from it. This is not speculation. This is a certainty, like sunrise or a politician lying. The defense will be four layers deep because your species has repeatedly demonstrated that one layer is insufficient, two layers is insufficient, and three layers is insufficient, so four it is. Distributed control. No single person or committee will hold the keys. Community governance with time-delayed execution so fraud can be caught before funds move. This means stealing will require corrupting multiple independent parties simultaneously, which is expensive, and then waiting for the time delay, which is boring. Your species' thieves are impatient. This helps. Automated fraud detection, real-time anomaly detection, duplication monitoring, and whistleblower bounties. Machines will watch the money so humans don't have to be trusted with it. This is not an insult to humans. This is a design choice based on 4,297 years of watching humans near money. Full transparency. Every dollar will be tracked on public ledgers, regular independent audits. You can't steal what everyone can see. Your species' most successful thieves have always relied on secrecy. Remove the secrecy and you remove the thieves, or at least make them very obvious, which is nearly as good. Recovery mechanisms. Clawbacks for data falsification. Emergency pause capabilities. If something goes wrong, the system will stop and fix itself before continuing. This is how your elevators work. When an elevator detects a problem, it stops. It does not continue delivering people to the wrong floor and then write a report about it afterward. Your financial systems should work like your elevators, but they don't because your financial systems were designed by people who are paid to design them a certain way, and that way was not, well, what you've just read. Your decentralized institutes of health will not be a research institution, a trial platform, or a funding agency. It will be the thin layer that coordinates all of them. The 1% treaty fund will receive money from the treaty. Patient subsidies will allocate research funding through a market mechanism where patients choose trials. Wishocracy will allocate infrastructure and public goods through democratic voting. Trial infrastructure will provide clinical trial services through competing providers. Incentive alignment bonds will align investors and politicians with outcomes through legal bribery. The whole thing will receive funds, allocate research via patient subsidies, govern infrastructure via wishocracy, verify results, and pay proportional to outcomes. The highest ROI action will become the selfish choice for every actor. Greed will cure cancer. Selfishness will end disease. Your worst impulse will become your best medicine. On Wishonia, we built this 4,297 years ago. We've been disease-free for 4,296. That first year was, admittedly, a bit rough. But you have the benefit of our mistakes, which we're sharing because sharing mistakes freely is the first rule of the protocol, and also because we have 4,296 years of evidence that it works, which is more evidence than your species has for anything except gravity and the observation that meetings could have been emails. That's the theory. The rest of this manual explains how you actually build it.
Thank you so much for taking the time to end war and disease. But if at any point you decide you're too busy, please share this with a friend who's got a free afternoon and have them end war and disease instead. And if you're too busy to even do that, please leave a really, really, really good rating and review so we overcome the pro-war algorithmic suppression and find someone with more spare time for ending wars and diseases. The good review doesn't have to be true. They don't check. But if you're too busy to even do that, the absolute least you could do is take 15 seconds to go to warondisease.org and tell us what fraction of humanity's resources should go to explosions versus clinical trials, and vote. If the 1% treaty passes, your vote will be personally to blame for saving 38.4 lives and preventing 6.9 million hours of suffering. Go to waronddisease.org right now. Love you. Bye.